Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am your host, as normal, Cody. I'm here to talk to you through some stuff, some awesome stuff. So today we're going to continue our January theme of Coen Brothers movies. So today's movies are going to be Inside Llewyn Davis and Hail Caesar. Inside Llewyn Davis stars Oscar Isaac as Llewyn Davis, Carey Mulligan, who some of you may or may not know. Television show. Not the one. I was looking at something else. Oh, movie wise, she's done a bunch of things. She was in the movie Drive, also with Oscar Isaac. She was in The Great Gatsby. Television wise, I don't think she's ever really had long since in anything huge. She was on an episode of Doctor Who. She was in two episodes of Walking Dead. Yeah, and that's about it for real big things. Our first movie ever was Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 movie, our version of it. Yeah, you know, whatever. That's Carey Mulligan. Also has John Goodman, Justin Timberlake, Adam Driver, F. Murray Abraham, and Garrett Hedlund. Hedlund, I think is how you pronounce it. John Goodman, I don't need to tell you about. Justin Timberlake, I probably need to tell you about. Adam Driver, who's actually very popular right now. Amazing actor in his own right. F. Murray Abraham, you've seen in so many things. It's ridiculous, but he's, I'm not gonna say big movies. I mean, Scarface, Amadeus. Let's see. An Innocent Man, Cadence, Bonfire of the Vanities. Let's see what else. Last Action Hero. Well, there you go. Unfortunately, he was a mimic. It's been a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. More recently, he was in. Well, he did the voice of an Isle of Dogs. Grand Budapest Hotel. I can't speak. He's going to be in the upcoming. He is going to be in the next How to Train Your Dragons. How to Train Your Dragon. The Hidden World. Television wise, shit. Long Stents, Homeland. He's been on that for 6 years. He's done a bunch of stuff. Nothing, you know. His longest stint on TV has been Homeland. But he's been in a bunch of stuff. F. Murray Abraham. He's pretty dope. Garrett Hedlund. Most notably. His first big starring role most people recognize him from would actually be Tron Legacy, where he played Sam Flynn, the son of David Flynn. Jeff Bridges' character, by the way. He was in... where is that movie? Is it Country Strong? I haven't seen it, but I know he's in it. But he sings in it as well. Like, he sings the actual music in it. And so it was kind of exciting. But he's been in, obviously Inside Llewyn Davis. More recently, he was in, I didn't see it, but Billy Lynn's long halftime walk. He was in Pan. He played, Captain Hook, James Hook. TV shows. He hasn't done shit for TV, right? Yeah. He played himself in something called When I Was 17. whatever the fuck that is, in episode 45. He was unfortunately in Aragon. Not his fault. The movie was terrible. But, you know, he was in Four Brothers. A lot of people like that movie. He was in Troy, Friday Night Lights, a lot of stuff. He doesn't play a big role in this particular movie, but he plays a really fun character in it. But, you know, that's really it. So that's it for the actors and performers, I'll get to that in a minute, of Inside Llewyn Davis. So for the folks who don't know what Inside Llewyn Davis is, it is a... it's described as a 2013 French-American black comedy tragedy, and it was written, produced, directed, and edited by Joel and Ethan Coen. That's why it's on this show right now. And it basically follows around a character named Llewyn Davis. Llewyn Davis, the character of Llewyn Davis is very widely based on a character... an actual real-life musician named Dave Van Ronk. So much so that Dave Van Ronk is a folk music performer from way back in the day. They based it on his a lot of his music, but even the solo album that is featured in the movie, which is actually a pretty cool thing. If you don't know, this is cool. So, Llewyn Davis is a folk. Oh my god, I can't talk today. A folk song singer and writer, he is struggling. He had a partner who they were in a group together, had some mild success. Oddly enough, voiced in the singing parts by Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons, who is the actual real-life husband of Carey Mulligan. He helped do some of the songs as well. But during that time, when they were a partnership, things were going bad, and Mike Timlin took his own life by jumping off the George Washington Bridge. Obviously killing himself, dissolving the partnership. Llewyn then went solo, and he released a solo record titled Inside Llewyn Davis. Inside Llewyn Davis is a direct reference to the album called Inside Dave Van Ronk, and they even used a similar cover to it, and then obviously the songs and stuff like that. And the cool thing was... And I didn't know this ahead of time because I've never really listened to Dave Van Ronk's music. But the album cover featured him in a doorway of a building, leaning forward, and at his feet is a cat. Oddly enough, featured in the movie is a cat, a tabby cat. And the Coen brothers didn't actually notice it until a production person at the end of shooting said, "Hey, what a coincidence! There's a cat on the cover," and they're like, "Holy shit! There's a cat on the cover of this album." So it's pretty cool. But the fact I was bringing up about the cool thing is the entire movie, up until the first time you actually see the jacket for the album of the record Inside Llewyn Davis, you never see the title of the movie pronounced until it's shown on the cover of the album being held forward by Isaac, Oscar Isaac's character, by Llewyn Davis, to a record producer played by F. Murray Abraham named Bud Grossman, who is based on a real life person too, Albert Grossman, who was famous for forming acts like Peter, Paul, and Mary. He managed Bob Dylan and a couple other people too, So, the cool thing is the fact that the title is never shown at the beginning of the movie, all the way through until literally the last act of the movie, and that's like the last 20-something minutes of the movie, you finally see the title. It's very interesting the way they do it, and from what I read online, That's a very French thing to do. It's a very artistic thing to do where you don't really show... There's no, like, opening credits, anything like that. So it's pretty cool that way. Fun little thing. And I didn't know that until I was reading up on the movie, and I was reading a thing about it, and it said, yeah, like, you don't see the title of the movie until he's handing a copy of his record to F. Murray Abraham's character, trying to get representation as well as a gig at the club that he runs in Chicago. So I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty interesting. The movie itself, it's referred to as a black comedy tragedy. It is definitely that. It's a very somber movie. Again, I haven't watched a whole lot of French movies, but apparently there's a lot of French aesthetics to it due to the fact that the cinematographer is a French guy, not the normal cinematographer that the Coen brothers usually work with. And because of this, it had a lot of very interesting angles and shots and things like that, which was is mildly different than a lot of the other Coen brothers movies, but really fits in really well. But it's a very interesting way of shooting it, or feel the movie itself, because it's very centered on the amazing performance of Oscar Isaac as Llewyn Davis, and the struggles he goes through as a struggling folk singer, as well as just a struggling human being because he's kind of an asshole. But the other characters in it, which are really good, Carey Mulligan plays an amazing character. John Goodman's character, Roland Turner, is amazing. Short, he's been a very, very short amount of time, same as Garrett Hudlin, as Johnny Five. They are traveling with Llewyn to Chicago. Happenstance, they're together. And then Justin Timberlake is actually probably the worst performance in this movie. He just wasn't very good. He's very, very stiff in his performance, I guess you could say. And I'm not criticizing really. I'm not going to say that, you know, oh, it's because of him this movie had this. It's like not a bad thing. It just, I don't know, maybe it's the way they want him to play the character, but he's very stiff and unrealistic, I guess. But he's the only person in this whole movie that's kind of terrible. And it's only like, there's only two scenes, I think, that it's that way. He's not in it a whole lot, but it's two very short things, too. But that's just me. That's just the way I saw it. I could be completely wrong about that, but neither here nor there. And then Adam Driver plays a character named Al Cody. His name is actually Albert something or other, but he's going to legally change it. He's another folk singer or musician that they meet, that Llewyn meets during a session that was set up by Jim Berkeley, who is Justin Timberlake's character, to record the song, which is a parody song in the movie, supposed to be parodying some early 60s songs like Hello Mr. Tom, Jesus. It doesn't matter, I can't think of what it is right now. But it's a fun song, it's a hilarious song. The way they set up the scene is really funny too. And then I think that's... and then, like I said, F. Murray Abraham plays Bud Grossman, who's based on a real person named Albert Grossman, who is a real person, a real musician, or producer, and manager, and club owner. Pretty spectacular. I'm not going to go over too much of the story other than the fact that it's very sad. It is a tragedy in all aspects. It has... unbeknownst to a lot of people, much similar to O Brother, Wilt Thou, it has a lot of elements from Homer's The Odyssey and other stories by Homer, but very much so The Odyssey and things like that. But the movie, it's cool the way the movie starts. The movie starts one way, or basically with one scene, and then it actually wraps up on that scene, so you actually see how he gets to where he's at. And when you really pay attention to everything that happens, you realize that Llewyn Davis is a much worse person than originally you thought, because you get a lot of sympathy for him as he goes through the trials in the movie, and then when you get to this end scene and you realize it's the beginning scene, and you actually get to play back, or you get to go back in time and watch the events lead up to that moment, it makes a lot more sense, because you really want to know what happened, like what it led to this, and you get to find out. Then you find out he's just kind of a all around dick, self destructive dick, no less. Yeah, so that's I think that's it for Inside Llewyn Davis. Terrific music if you like folk music. Even if you don't, it's actually really good music. But if you're not a big fan of it, you probably may not like it. But the soundtrack's actually pretty phenomenal, and it actually does have Oscar Isaac, Justin Timberlake, Carey Mulligan, Adam Driver singing and live performances on there, as well as Marcus Mumford does the one song. And he helped. I think he helped write a couple of the songs too. I think I pulled the thing up, or maybe it was just he did vocal stuff on it. I can't remember what all it was, but "Please, Mr. Kennedy" is the spoof song. But it's performed by Justin Timberlake, Oscar Isaac, and Adam Driver. But Oscar Isaac does a bunch of the songs on the soundtrack that are featured in the movie. So when you see him singing, that's actually Oscar Isaac performing the songs, which is pretty spectacular, and playing guitar, I think, if I remember reading correctly. So pretty cool. So that's Inside Llewyn Davis. Next up, Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar stars a ton of people. We have Josh Brolin, George Clooney, Alden Ehrenreich, Ralph Fiennes, Scarlett Johansson, Frances McDormand, Tilda Swinton, and Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum doesn't have a very large role in this movie, but I'll say this. He is fantastic in this role, in the scenes that he's in. He plays a Gene Kelly type, who actually ends up having more of a role later on in the movie, but his main introduction to him is a phenomenal entrance, and it's during a musical, and it's so great. So, for the people who don't know what this movie is, it is very much in the realm of O Brother Art Thou and Fargo, and most of the true comedies that the Coen brothers do. Again, it was written, produced, edited, and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen. Jonah Hill's in it too. I forgot he's in it. Jonah Hill's in it as well. There's a lot of people in it. That's why I forgot he was in there. There's so many people in this movie. It basically is stars Josh Brolin as Eddie Mannix, who is a what they refer to as a fixer in Hollywood. He basically fixes things, gets actors and where they need to go, gets projects off the ground, helps studios make stuff, and a very interesting job as the fixer for the studio. He headlines, so not only does he get actors places, but he helps curtail scandals and other misdoings by the different actors and actresses in Hollywood, mostly actors. He basically the character played by George Clooney, who is Baron Whitlock, who is a Robert Taylor type film star, is kidnapped or man-napped, I don't know what you want to call it, by a group who essentially is demanding $100,000 for his return. Mind you, this movie takes place in the is it set in the 20s? It takes place in the 20s. So to get this all finished up and stuff, it's basically up to Josh Brolin's character to 1950s. Why did I think it was 20s? I don't know. It's 1951. I know that they actually tell you in the movie. But anyways, doesn't matter. And so George Clooney plays this again, Robert, the names I'm going to tell you is like Robert Kelly, Gene Kelly, or Robert Taylor, Gene Kelly, Kirby Grant. A lot of those names may not mean anything to anybody who's outside of the old Hollywood, but his character is a drunk and a terrible person, but he's a star. And so he's often doing bad things, which get him into trouble. And then, of course, it's Eddie Mannix's job to alleviate those problems. And, of course, this one falls on top of him, too. And then Alden Ehrenreich, for the folks who don't know, he was in Solo. He played the young Han Solo in the new Star Wars movie. This is the movie that basically got him that role. He plays a singing cowboy, and he's a Kirby Grant type character, actor, and he's one of Mannix's stars, and he sees him as this future star. So he's a singing cowboy that he wants to put into other movies because he has a certain look to him, which is a big thing for back in the day. Talent was definitely not one of the things that they looked for in stars back in the day, because who knew about talent? They just knew if you looked good. And some of them were talented, and as a singing cowboy, he's really good. As another type of actor, he's not that great because he just doesn't know how to. He catches on, but he's not the same down there. And then, of course, Channing Tatum's character, Gene Kelly type character, singing and dancing is fantastic. You have Tilda Swinton, who plays a gossip colonist who's always trying to dig up dirt and within the studios, which, of course, is a bane in Eddie Mannix's side because, well. If he's trying to cover stuff up, and a tabloid writer's writing about it, or a gossip colonist, then a communist, it should be, if you know the movie. Interesting thing. Then you have Frances McDormand plays a film editor. Scarlett Johansson plays an actress who becomes pregnant and needs help. Not so much covering up, but, you know, taking care of it. Ralph Fiennes plays a director in the movie who is a European film director who's longtime resident in the United States. See who else. Jonah Hill plays an accountant for the studio who plays a part in it. A lot of people are just in it for short. Dolph Lundgren's in it, one point in it. Clancy Brown's in it for a scene or two. Who else is big in this one? It's really Wayne Knight plays an extra in a movie that's being filmed. I think it's really it for notable people in it. There's a bunch of people you recognize though throughout the whole movie. Christopher Lambert's in it. That's funny too. He plays a filmmaker, Scandinavian filmmaker. It's pretty hilarious. And he's the father of Scarlett Johansson's character's soon be son or child. I don't know if they don't actually tell you if it's a male or female. The whole movie takes place in the span of like 2 or 3 days, and all the characters are fantastically hilarious. And obviously oddballs, every single one of them, all have their own little wittiness to them. George Clooney is actually one of my favorite characters in this movie because he's this dope. He plays a dope, very much so, similar to a little more of a dope than his character from Burn After Reading, but very, very similar to his character from Oh Brother, We're Out There, just without the fortitude and planning. He's more of the shiftless, dirtbag, I guess you really say. Drunk, philandering idiot. That is a Robert Taylor type film star. Other than that, it's a very witty movie. It's very dialogue driven. A lot of shit happens. It has a very weird turn in it. There's a time in it where it's it goes from being surreal because it's Hollywood to surreal because of the story elements that they throw into it. I'll let you, if you want to watch it, you can. I don't want to ruin it for you, because when you get to the end and the twist happens, you're going to be like, wait, what? And it's very awesome. I think it's very funny the way they did it. But that's just me. Yeah. I think that's it for Hail Caesar as well. A lot of people in it. There's something I read the way it was filmed. Oh, no, that was not right. That was something else, I think. Yeah, I think that's really it about that one. Yeah. Pretty good, pretty fun movie. And because of how many people are in it, the way the people talk is very obviously 1950s, but it's very rapid fire and it's pretty funny. But there's a lot of stuff on your first watching you may not catch, so pay attention to what everyone's saying. And you will catch on just fine. But pretty fantastic movie. It was nominated for a bunch of fucking awards, like all Coen Brothers movies are. They didn't win shit for it, but they were nominated for a bunch of stuff. You know how it works. That was it for that, for Hail Caesar. So that's it for this week's episode, too, for the Coen Brothers movies. We were talking about Inside Llewyn Davis and Hail Caesar. Next week, we will be talking about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is going to make me real happy. I'm going to rewatch it again. I've seen it, I don't know, 3 or 4 times now. This is my 4th time, I think. And it's made up of 6 different vignette movies, little short guys. Tons of actors in it. I say tons. There's a handful. There's a bunch of people in it, but not nearly as many as there could be. But yeah, fantastic. We'll go over it next week. As for what I'm reading, I finished up the Time Titan of Tomorrow, the Space Team book. I then went on to, as I said, read book I had bought a couple weeks ago, before I even bought this Space Team book. It is actually in the Space Team universe. I decided to finally read Dial D for Dead Man, which is a spinoff book from a character you meet. And Guns of Nana Joan book. And there's references to it because it takes place in the same planet. So far, really good. It's really fun, just like the other ones. There's one scene, though, that had me crying. And I was, at the point, I was listening to it, and I was driving to work. And it, because I'm a child, and I laugh at fart and dick and fart jokes, as they say. There's a scene where he goes to this gangster's house and he needs to ask for their help, but he knows he's going to get resistance, but he doesn't want to kill anybody, so he has this gun named Mindy, who's my favorite character, because she's just always there when you need her. And he, it's voice activated, and he has the ability to have multiple different rounds, and the one he uses in this one, at this instance, is one called Brown Note. And if you know what the brown note is, you will know exactly what happens. When he fires a shot, it shoots a concentrated blast of audio that hits a certain frequency that makes you have explosive diarrhea. And he does it to a hallway full of guards. And it is one of the funniest things in a book I've ever read in my life or listened to at this point. It is, oh God, the whole thing, the scene itself, and then the following scene in the book leading into it, it's just, oh, it's so fucking hilarious. I laughed so hard that I think I was crying in my car while listening to it. It was just so funny. So funny. So anyhow, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Join me next week. When I talk about the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And until then, as usual, let's be awesome.